every cell needs water, good quality water. Every cell needs nutrients, and every cell needs oxygen. And that's how simple it is to look after ourselves.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. Welcome back. We will be continuing with part two of the interview with Kamli Singh, the holistic coach from Body by Soul. And Cam continues on with his explanation about how the mind and body all work together, including how important it is that we avoid chemicals and how our body is energized by oxygen, how our food and the quality of it has a big impact on how our brain functions. So Cam is coming from the holistic view of our health. So have a listen. It's a great inspiration to hear the passion in his voice.
You mentioned about concentrating on what you can do. So that sort of leads us into your next principle about thinking healthy. To be healthy, I believe, is your saying.
Yes, my saying. Yeah, I think, again, you know, this is another reason why I practice holistically, because I believe that the mind, the body, the chemicals that we're exposed to, they're always interplaying with each other, right? So, for instance, if we're not eating foods that are having a good chemical reaction in our gut, that's affecting our hormones. Our hormones affect how we think, right? Okay. So that's the importance of even still trying to, that's the importance of our food when it comes to how we think. We don't often are aware that our food has an impact on our psychology, right? But it does. If it didn't, we wouldn't have an industry of psychiatry, because that's all psychiatry. It's chemicals that affect how the brain functions. And with saying that as well, it's also oxygen and breathing, you know. So that's where the movement, and this is where we do the holistic side of things come in, because, I mean, if you want to feel better and if you want to think better, you got to have oxygen within that body in order to energize the body, in order to energize the cells. Every cell we have, we are just millions and billions and trillions of cells piled into one, and every cell needs water, good quality water. Every cell needs nutrients, and every cell needs oxygen. And that's how simple it is to look after ourselves, okay? But usually when we're not, we are in a state of pain, right? We've got hip pain, knee pain. We've got emotional pain. We're worrying about, you know, where we're going to get money from, or, you know, we've got things going on with our children and grandchildren. That can have a huge effect on our psyche and how we think about our health and how we want to move forward, right? But often what I'm trying to explain with the first two points of how we eat and how we move our body, that is a prime indicator for how we think. When we can think better, it's going to drive more positive habits in return. So once again, we can also, from a negative perspective, get so caught up in our fears and our limitations and, oh, if I do this, then I could hurt myself more. That's all justified, but how much is that stopping us from really experiencing more of what we truly do want?
Okay. It's all starting to make sense. I suppose we didn't realize that everything's connected so much. And so then we get on to our gut. I know you've said that a healthy gut is a healthy life as well. And you talk about stresses on the digestive system to avoid.
Yeah, I think I jumped ahead of the gun maybe for the first point when I was talking so much about the quality of food that we eat. You know, this is so important, because who we are, as I said, a result is a result of the chemicals that we exposed ourselves. I find it really funny. And you know how a lot of people say, I won't eat those foods. There's lots of chemicals in it. I only eat organic food, right? There's no chemicals in it. It's pretty funny because organic food is chemicals as well. So the difference, what's going on within the body is that we've got this war, the mind and the body, of this little battle between nutrients and poison, right? So some of the chemicals that we expose ourselves to actually give us more health, vitality. They balance our hormones. They build our immune system. They help us reduce toxicity. But some of the chemicals, they actually bear the problems, right? They're the ones that are actually have an effect on how our hormones are balanced. They're the ones that are toxic to the body and our body can't deal with it. So the body has to slow down other processes in order to deal with the poison. And this interplay usually stems from the health of the gut, you know. So when we are eating better quality food, when we're deep breathing, when we're getting good quality water in, that one of the main organs that's so responsible for how the rest of the body functions, that all works better. So often we go to the area of pain and try to fix that. So would you believe it? I have a lot of clients that come to me with lower back pain. Right. And they think I'm going to, because I can work to heal their back and rehabilitate their back. But one of the main things we start to do for people with back pain is have a look at their gut health. Why? Because we've got nerves going from the back of the spine. My little spine model has just been broken, so I normally would demonstrate on that. But we've got 9 nerves that go from the spine all into the organs of the digestive system, right? So what happens is when we're eating foods that don't agree with our digestive system, or maybe foods that irritate the digestive system, for instance, like gluten or lots of dairy and sugars and stuff like that, they can all weaken the stomach, right? The postural muscles. Once those muscles are weakened, that affects how well the spine can hold itself. So when it comes to healing, it has to stem from a nutritional point of view as well, which is all based on not what we eat, but how well are those foods actually breaking down. Yeah. It's one thing eating healthy food, but it's another thing about how that food is actually getting processed and churned and our body taking nutrients for it, to send those nutrients to the rest of the body, to the mind or to the ligaments and joints and tendons. That would definitely be the implications of having good gut health.
Good gut health. Is there anything that we can take that would improve our gut health?
Definitely. So first of all, the number one thing is not do what we need to do, but what we need to do less of, right? So, you know, as I said, those inflammatory foods are going to be the sugar, the gluten, the dairy. A lot of soy can inflame the gut as well. Yeast, products with yeast in it, alcohol. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying not to have these foods, right? But all I'm saying is if you're in a bit of pain, you know that your values is you want to move your body more, you want to feel better, you want more energy, you want to age a bit more gracefully, right? Maybe just try limiting or looking for different options with those inflammatory foods, see how much better you can feel, and then the proof is going to be in the pudding itself. So that's the first thing, is what do we take? Rather than try to say what do we take, let's look at what we can remove the stress. But definitely things like probiotics. Once again, I can send examples and links to really good reputable companies, ethical companies for probiotics, which is good gut health bacteria. Things like having apple cider vinegar, which is everywhere in this day and age. Lemon and some warm water is really good for the gut health. You know, herbal teas like peppermint tea. Those are just kind of the basics. Making sure that we're not overeating, eating slowly, you know, not eating too fast, chewing our food properly, being in a good mood when we eat. Those are all really simple, free ways of making sure that our digestive, we are helping those digestive organs.
And just before we move on to the next principle, I know as we age, some of us tend to be on more prescribed drugs from the doctors, and that would that also be affecting our gut health?
Where do I start with this one? Definitely. My grandparents are in South Africa and they are in their 80s, and it really troubles me that I couldn't be there to work with them. They're in so much of pain, but so much of their pain is as a result of the drugs they've been on for so long, and they've had to be on these drugs for other issues, joint issues, heart issues, but it's so acidic. Even recently, I actually had an abscess on my tooth, and I was on holiday. Oh, geez, that was not fun. And I found myself needing antibiotics to reduce the, and I did the natural stuff as well. In fact, if I didn't have my natural remedies, I think it would have been so much worse. Now, they wanted to put me in for a root canal straight away. I definitely used my natural remedies to help with the pain and inflammation, but I think the antibiotics was a necessary tool that actually completely took away the infection. What I noticed was my body literally wasn't used to that amount of toxicity. I lost some muscle mass. I just felt really mushy. I can't explain it. That's the words I can. My body hasn't. It took a good couple of weeks of good quality food to rebuild that, because no one really knows the side. It's not a side effect. It's just the effects. Yes, these drugs are really good because they stop one issue, but at what cost? You know, and yes, some pharmaceutical drugs that we have to take have more effect than others. So again, it's one of those things that life is full of stress, whether it's stress from the drugs we have to take, stress from our extended family and what's going on with them, or financial, or our pain that we're going in. And we've got to do our best. Like when we're starting to look after our health, it's just all about how do I manage that? You know, we've got to realize the stress. I'll use my bottle as an example. So all the stress we have, whether it's a physical stress, whether it's a emotional stress with family, it's all going into this big surface, right? And the bucket or the bottle is designed like this, so we can deal with lots of stress. But the problem is that our filtration system is very small, just like the nozzle. So the reason we get caught out is because we have a lot more stress going in the body than the stress that can come out. So what do you think tends to happen? And as we get older, the bottle fills up, right? And when we get even older, what, in my opinion, what pain or disease is the stress becoming so much, our body can't deal with it. So it starts to overspill into the bloodstream. You know, it affects the organs. The whole system goes into chaos, going, I can't deal with the amount of stress that we have going on because I've just got the small filtration. So what's your health? You know, eating slightly better, reducing some of the crappy foods, drinking more water, moving your body a bit. All that's doing, it's increasing this hole, right? So we can get a even contribution for them, because we can't stop life, but we do have a control over trying to expand and let go of how our body's dealing with stress. Hopefully that's a good analogy for you.
Thank you. I'll look at a bottle of water in a completely different way now, thanks to you, Kim. Moving on to your next principle, I've heard you talk about you are only as old as your toxicity levels. Can you explain that, please?
Well, I'm jumping ahead of the gun because I think I just basically did. So the analogy of the bottle is pretty much your how your body handles with chemical stress. So, I mean, we have lived a majority of our human existence not in these nice air-conditioned houses and have these nice cars. You know, you think about 150 years ago, 200 years ago, we were living in much smaller houses. We were exposed to a lot more of a natural environment. And the reason we've got so many cancers now, the reason we've got so many diseases now, is that our environment has changed a lot faster than our natural bodies have been able to adapt to it, right? So this is the issue, is that we've got these bodies that have been around for yonks, in living in the bush, living in this natural environment with clean air, with clean water, all right? But we've industrialized 300 years ago. We've started mass producing food. We've started living in more confined spaces, more people confined spaces. We've become less resilient to bacteria because of that. So now we've got these weakened bodies with a lot more chemical stress constantly around us. So again, the filtration system can't deal with the amount of stress going in or chemical toxicity going in versus how much the liver and the kidneys and the cleansing organs, the skin can deal with that. So again, I believe that, you know, it's not age that catches up with us. It's the toxicity that catches up with us. So doing things to reduce the amount of toxic load that we can be under can have a huge and profound effect on how you feel on a daily basis. So things like avoiding talking about drinking, we want to be drinking good quality water, you know, water that hasn't got lots of fluoride or tap water, for instance, because those chemicals our bodies aren't used to and aren't exposed to. Fluoride's a bit of a controversial topic. I'll let you do your own research in that. But there's a lot of information out there now. The thing that I can't deny, one of my truths, is nature, right? So in this day and age when every science article is saying contradiction one or the other, I just think, go back to when we were the healthiest of our species, when we had the least amount of stress, and it was when we were living as tribal communities, when we were living very close to nature, when we were drinking clean water, had clean oxygen, we had good quality food, you know, which is what pretty much our grandparents had. You know, it's ever since we started industrializing and revolutionizing and confining things, since we've had to struggle with a lot more toxicity. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to go move out into the bush and, you know, grow our own vegetables. And again, life is life, and we are exposed to the environments and the toxins that we have. However, being aware, this is what it's all about. You start to plant that seed of awareness. You're going to spend time researching and reading the paper. If this is important to you, if you think some of your pain that you could be experiencing, or some of the, you want to avoid some type of disease in the future, start to research, you know, the importance of trying to reduce toxic load. So eating more green and leafy vegetables, you know, having more foods that are alkaline, making sure we're getting good quality water, we're getting minerals with that water, you know, so it's not just, as I said, tap water, but it's water that's alive. So years, hundreds of years ago, the only source of water would have been through streams. There would have been lots of minerals within that water and nutrients. Water, people don't realize it's a nutrient. Okay, we normally think of food and we think vitamins and nutrients, but water is a nutrient, because I can have dead water, it's got lots of chemicals to make it drinkable under a tap, or I can have live water with minerals that our body can absorb and get energy out of it. And that's the same thing with oxygen. So we can breathe polluted air, all right, or if we are in nature, you know, doing our gardening, doing deep breathing, getting really good quality oxygen deep down into our belly, that is a nutrient. In fact, oxygen is the most important nutrient we have, because you can last probably about 1 to 2 weeks without food. You could probably last between half a week to a week without water, but you can only last about 3 minutes without oxygen.
Yep.
Right? So if we're not getting good quality or focusing on some type of deep breathing, right, those are the things where that are destroying ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, one of the ways we get rid of toxicity is through our breath. It's through our skin when we sweat. It's, you know, when we go to the toilet. So that's all how we help our body get rid of toxic load.
Right. And can I just get you to comment about, I've read and you've spoken about it before, about with toxicity, about the metals that we can accidentally end up with through the use of oils that we're using. And there's a great debate about which is the best type of oil, but I didn't know until I heard you talk about it that you can actually end up with metals in your body from using the wrong oil.
Yeah, look, again, the truth is in nature, and science just helps us discover things that Mother Nature's always told us, because the truth is in our survival. We wouldn't have been here for the time and existed and been through famines and droughts and ice ages and all these things if it wasn't for this intuitive wisdom through that we've had to learn through nature. So again, for me, the less we can use man-made, so synthetic, for instance, a lot of the vegetable oils that, you know, extremely hard to try to get oil out of a canola seed, right? But it's extremely easy to get oil out of a coconut because coconuts are very high in good quality fats, right? So again, Mother Nature has a way of saying, take oil from there. It's very easy to take fat out of an animal. For instance, lard, something that our grandparents probably cooked with, right? Butter, even though it's high in fat, it's high in good quality fats. It's not a fat that we need to be scared of, right? I think the problem is that we have been so scared by oils and by fats, we've eliminated all fats out of our diet. But good quality fish oils, good quality fat from organic meats, from eggs, these are all essential oils. You've got three macronutrients. You've got protein, carbs, and fats, right? And the only macronutrient that we cannot survive with is fat, okay? I think it's like 70% of our brain is made up of fat. But we're so scared of oils and we're so scared of eating good quality. We're so scared of eating fat, we often miss out on the good quality, the omega-3s that you can get from eating, you know, nice deep sea fish from organic meats, lamb, beef, you know, that we can get from things like coconut oil, from cooking with butter and ghee are the best types of oils, I believe, to cook with. Macadamia oil is great in Australia as well. It's natural to us and easily sourced. And the number one thing, again, is the broths. So when you cook those broths, they're so simple to do. It's literally some bones and some veggies in a stock pot. And you just leave it to boil, you know, and simmer for 24 hours. Like how simple can it be? But all the nutrients get extracted from those bones into the liquid, and that's what you drink. That's a perfect meal in itself. So
okay. All right. Well, thank you. You've shared a lot of information today and a lot of good stuff and a lot of good tips there. So just to finish up, I could listen to you for all day, but do we need to finish up? So how do you work with people through your business?
Oh, good question, Anne. So basically a lot of clients, we do a life coaching program, which will obviously involve me taking a deeper look into their health. So I can work with my clients either face-to-face or like I've worked with you previously through distance, through Skype or phone. But basically the first thing we need to do is assess where the client is. Once again, I use those principles of their stress, their food, movement, toxicity, and hormonal balance. And, you know, the clients answer questions. And when I get the results back, I'm able to see where are they high priorities. So you might want to improve your energy, but you think you eat reasonably healthy, and you probably are, but then we realize through your questionnaires, the results, that there's more of an issue with your digestion, right? So it gives us a bit more of a pinpointed approach as to what we need to fix first. And then we start working through a criteria of making something, improving your health, but from a path that's going to be enjoyable, that's going to be sustainable and cheap and effective as well. So, and most of our clients, we do that on a week-to-week basis until they feel more confident and they can start to feel the results. We can overcome obstacles with them with our coaching, and then they're on their way to better health.
Okay.
Enjoying their life.
All right. And just briefly, where are you located now?
So we are in Dural in Sydney, which is towards the northwest of Sydney. but I'm always available on phone or Skype or via email. So I'd love to hear back from anyone that has any questions or anyone that feels maybe a bit stuck as to where they should start or where their pain could be coming from, or someone, maybe people that are doing things right and want to take it to that next level as well. So I'm open to anyone. Thank you, Anne. It's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to hearing from some healthy, happy people improving their lifestyle.
Thanks very much for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show. It's amazing how just a few simple changes to our daily routine can make a huge difference to our health. Anyone can benefit from this. To get the contact details for Cam, head over to my website, retirewellretirehappy.com.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.